Okay. So, I should say that I didn't prepare anything. Okay? I mean, I have a sort of collection of packaged talks, and I can repeat any one of them. Or I could speak at random, but I didn't prepare, I didn't prepare, I haven't a set agenda. Okay? And so what I want to do right now is essentially to describe my menu. So I want to describe the overall picture, very, very briefly, just so that we're in the same mindset. Okay? And then I'm going to go over all sorts of various directions we can go from that general picture. And of course, you know, you may add more. I mean, right? Okay. So the overall story, okay, is sort of that I have a set of universes, okay, the U, V, W, and P universes, and each universe has certain things in it. So the way I wrote it here, it's topology, combinatorics, low algebra, high algebra, configuration space integrals, quantum field theory, and graph homology. Okay, but only the first four, so topology, combinatorics, low algebra, and high algebra. Well, actually, I can say something about each one, but the first four are the most substantial somehow for what I'm going to talk about. And the universes interact, and therefore there are interactions between the corresponding topologies, combinatorics, low algebras, and high algebras, okay? And I could talk about any one of these things, and then there are a few also a la carte items, items. So other things I could talk about that don't quite fit within that square. But first of all, I want to give a completely abstract description how topology, what I mean by topology, combinatorics, low algebra, and high algebra. Okay? So, and I think the overall title, and I hope this will work. This is, of course, the first time I'm playing with this game. And for me, the main benefit right now is that I will learn to use this machine, and then I will know whether I want to buy one for myself or not. But, you know, whether I want to push my department to get one or not. So, anyway, so let me put a
touchdown.
No, it is good. This is good.
It's efficient.
Oh, it just took time. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now to delete.
To delete, you have to.
Oh, it's not that if I press the button here, it becomes.
No,
delete.
It doesn't work. You have to go on this panel.
Okay, and it's not upside down or finger.
No. Also. No, no.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. So I want to describe the what I will call.
It's a shadow. If the shadow interferes with the...
No, but... Oh, you... It's... now it's my hand interfering. Sorry, I mean, there's some learning, obviously.
Maybe you don't want one now.
Okay. Sorry, what? Okay, let me describe... It's just over here it's less accurate, it seems. No, now it's accurate.
It's because your shadow interferes with the...
My shadow
The shadow of your hand?
Well, but you know, my hand has a shadow. That's the way it works.
Go back to the pencil.
Go back to the pencil, and now... No, it's just not working. Okay, well, no, I don't want to give up so quickly.
Carlo Schoen does it.
But I'm used
to. Oh, I don't need to touch.
No, you don't need. Okay.
I see. It doesn't even need to touch. I wonder how it works. But. Okay.
Uh-huh.
No, it's not, sorry, you can't, it's not usable. I don't know. No, it's too...
Okay.
Okay, oh. So I want to talk about the projectivization. No, I cannot. Sorry, I surrendered.
Okay.
So I want to talk about, but now I have no chalk. Okay, so let me just very briefly describe what I will title the projectivization. Machine. Okay, so here's how it works. So it starts from something, okay? But let me just, for the sake of example, start with the braid group. Okay? Now, the only thing I need to know about the braid group is that it is an algebraic structure. So, algebraic structure just means that it's a set with some operations on it. In this case, the set is a single set, it's a collection of sets with some algebraic, with some operations between them. In this case, it's a single set, and the operations are a binary multiplication operator, a unary inversion operator, and a nullary, so a zeronary operation of the identity. So it has no input, but it outputs the identity. And this operation satisfies some axiom. But in general, I will allow the same machine will work on many other algebraic structures. So planar algebras, categories, circuit algebras, whatever that is, all sorts of extended versions of the things I just mentioned, where you allow, or you know, a group homomorphism is again an algebraic structure. It's a pair of groups, so you have two sets, each one with three operations, one nullary, one unary, one binary, and also a map between map between them. Again, some axioms that connect all of these things. So there are lots and lots and lots of algebraic structures, and what I'm talking about will be valid for all of them, okay? Except all the algebraic structures that I will be talking about, so the U, V, and W type of algebraic structures, all except the P are algebraic structures of topological objects. So in general, I will call this thing topology. So for me, topology, for the purpose of this, topology is the study of various topological things and how you can compose them. So the sets are sets of topological things, and the operations are various ways that you can do. You can compose them or manipulate them. Okay, anyway, then there is a completely general machine, okay, the projectivization machine, which says whenever you have an algebraic structure, there is somehow a canonical filtration living in it, or more precisely, you need to first look at the corresponding kind of group ring. So you allow formal linear combinations, and then there is a canonical filtration. And the moment you have a filtration, you have an associated graded. And the moment and the associated graded will be another algebraic structure. Okay. So there will be a projectivization machine, and it will map the original algebraic structure to a associated graded, which in the case of the braid group will be the algebra of horizontal chord diagrams, or in each of the cases it will be something else. It will be arrow diagrams, something else in each case, something different in each case. But the point about this is that this is again an algebraic structure, because you can show that all the operations that you have here induce operations over here. So it's an algebraic structure with the same collection of operations, though not necessarily the same axioms. So the relations that were obeyed here between the operations may or may not be obeyed here. Okay? And here it's an algebraic structure of combinatorial objects, combinatorial things. What are combinatorial things? Well, again, there's no well-defined boundary between topology and combinatorics, but they definitely feel different. Okay? So I will call these things combinatorics. So generally speaking, it's about spaces of diagrams, like chord diagrams or arrow diagrams or whatever, modulo various local relations like STU, IHX, this kind of nonsense. Okay? Okay.
So maybe I can...
Now, yeah?
So maybe I'll ask many stupid questions.
Yeah.
Let me start with...
Yeah.
So you mentioned... So I'm not completely familiar with this formalism of algebraic structures. So you said there are operations and some actions, and some are... Operations go to operation through the productivization machine, but
yeah,
some actions are no longer satisfied. Can you...
No, some axioms,
yeah,
not actions.
Yes.
Actions are operations, right? An action of one group on a set is an operation.
Right, right.
But axioms are not.
So in this particular example of brain groups, what axiom?
Axiom.
Axiom would be lost. Not be preserved.
Would you say that the braid relation is an axiom?
No.
It's the group axioms. It's the axioms of the algebraic structure. So in fact, the fact that we're talking about braids is irrelevant for your question.
Yeah.
What's relevant is that we're talking about groups.
I see.
Okay? So for groups, associativity is preserved. So somehow over here there will be a binary operation and it will be associative, just like this one is associative, but the inverse axiom will not be preserved.
Okay?
So, right, and I might give you other examples later. So in fact, you could, if you start here with a quandl, that's a lovely example that's independent of everything else. If you start here with a quandl, the thing that you get here is a Leibniz algebra. Okay? So you started with something that satisfies, what is it called, right distributivity, so the quandl axiom, and it gets replaced by, well, then it's no longer satisfied here. However, there is a substitute in this particular case, and the substitute is the right Leibniz identity. Or, I don't know, left Leibniz identity, I don't know what it's called. The whatever half of the Leibniz identity that that is satisfied, you know, essentially the Jacobi identity. With some, but not the anti-symmetry. Oh, maybe even more clearly, here there is anti-symmetry in a quantum.
Well,
sorry,
invertibility was clear to me.
What?
The invertibility axiom.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, okay. Then, so I have to tell you about four columns: topology, combinatorics, high algebra and low algebra. I've done topology and combinatorics. Now I have to tell you, but again, remember, this is just the menu. I mean, there is a lot to say about each one. A lot more to say about each one and about the machine. Okay? Okay. Then, the next one to talk about is the low algebra. So, pictures generally represent formulas. Diagrams often represent formulas. So, even if you write a formula like sine squared of x plus cosine squared of x is equal to 1, then, the formula is this. Okay, I don't know that it's equal to 1. Okay? If you were designing a computer algebra system, you would be storing it as a tree, right? And it would be a tree that has plus at the top and then two leaves, and the two leaves have a power written on them, and then two leaves, and the right leaf would be 2 in both cases, and the left leaf here will be cosine, the left leaf here will be, sorry, I guess the left leaf here will be sine, the left leaf here will be cosine, and then maybe you would have I don't know, the specifics of how you represent it is up to you, but the point is that combinatorial pictures represent formulas. Now, there are identities between formulas, and therefore this formula is equal to the even simpler formula that just states 1. Okay? So similarly, these spaces always will represent formulas, and the relations will be relations that are universally satisfied, that are always satisfied. But for these statements to represent formulas, you'll have to choose a Lie algebra. So once you choose a Lie algebra, so given some Lie algebra G, these pictures will have interpretations as formulas, and therefore you will have maps from these spaces to various spaces associated with the Lie algebra. So I will write it as the universal enveloping algebra of the Lie algebra G, because this is sort of the typical example, but I don't really mean the universal enveloping algebra. I mean maybe the universal enveloping algebra, maybe symmetric algebra, maybe some tensor product of a symmetric algebra with a universal enveloping algebra. It could be many things, but it's always of this flavor. Also, depending whether you're in the U world, V world, or W world, what I mean by Lie algebra will mean a different thing. So it will either be a finite dimensional Lie algebra with no constraints, or with a metric on it, so some invariant bilinear form, or a Lie bi-algebra, whatever that is. So, so again, this is given a Lie algebra in quotes. It's some Lie algebraic notion. Okay? Now, this operation I will call, so this thing here is what I will call low algebra. And the reason I call it low algebra is because it's lower than the other algebra that occurs. It has a different form and it's lower, it's sort of easier than what I will call high algebra. Okay? Now, what's high algebra? So, okay, now, if you have a set or a space and it's associated graded, then they are automatically isomorphic as vector spaces. Okay, so as vector spaces, this is equal to that. Okay, which means that there is always a map going from here to here, but it's by far not unique, definitely not unique. There is no canonical map going from here to here. Okay? But such a map will be called an expansion. Okay, and again, there are plenty of expansions. And I think I first learned the word expansion from a paper by Xiaosong Lin, by the way, your old collaborator. Former, I suppose, is the more correct English. Anyway, and an expansion has a formal definition. It's not just a map from here to here. It's a map that, on the level, if you take associated graded, it becomes the identity. So I mean, there is some formal condition that the expansion has to satisfy. Now, it's never trivial if there is an expansion that also intertwines the operations. So you see, for every operation here, there will be a corresponding operation here. And you may or may not be able to find an expansion that will intertwine the operation. An expansion that intertwines the operations, I will call a homomorphic expansion. Okay? And a homomorphic expansion is very expensive. Okay, expansions are cheap, but homomorphic expansions are expensive. Very hard to get. Why? Because, well, how would you get a homomorphic expansion? One way to do it would be to write the topological thing in terms of generators and relations. Okay? And then, to find a homomorphic expansion, all you have to do is to decide on its values on the generators, because the generators generate everything and it's homomorphic. So you decide on the values on the generators, but you have to solve the relations. Okay? Now, what the relations are will depend on which specific topology we started from. But solving these relations will always be a difficult algebraic problem. So hence the name high algebra. Okay? So in the case of the U-world, so not quite the braid group, but in the case of various other structures in the usual universe of knots, finding a homomorphic expansion will mean finding an element phi that satisfies the pentagon and the hexagon equation. So it's essentially finding an associator. In the W world, finding a homomorphic expansion of the appropriate gadget will mean solving the Kashiwara-Verne problem, again, whatever that is. In the V world, it means roughly quantizing Libye algebras. So that's why I call it high algebra. Okay? And this is the introduction to the overall scheme, and this is the point where it ends. Okay? So, now, my system says once you finish a blackboard, you have to take a picture of it. So, I will take a picture of it. Yes. Good. Okay. So, had it been my own office, the picture would immediately appear there. But, you know, the
was
setup...
Was there any relation between high algebra and low algebra, or these are just...
Oh, I should have said that. Somehow the point is that, we solve equations here in the world of combinatorics, but these equations immediately, once you choose a Lie algebra, immediately gets interpreted in ordinary algebra. So in that sense, you get quantization of Lie algebras or the Kashiwara-Verne problem. So, you know, if you start from W knots, it becomes a combinatorial problem, but this combinatorial problem using the low algebra gets pushed to a question about to solving a certain problem about convolutions on Lie algebras and Lie groups, which is this Kashiwara-Verne problem. Okay, so somehow the low algebra makes the high algebra more interesting in specific cases. It allows you to specialize to specific Lie groups or Lie algebras and get this becomes interesting Lie group or Lie algebra questions. And furthermore, solving the problem in the world of combinatorics is somehow solving it universally. So you don't just find a solution of the... You don't just prove that convolutions here are equal to convolutions here. You prove it at the same time for all conceivable Lie algebras by a single universal formula. Okay? So that's... Yeah. Okay. Maybe I should now, or you turn it off.
Yeah, you turn it just because
so maybe I'll go over. Yeah.
And you can go in the other sense. For example, if you have some algebraic space or algebraic or combinatorics problems, to state the same problem in a topological way.
So there is no well-defined inverse map, not that I know. Okay, but I kind of would like to believe that all such graded algebra problems, and again that have a certain feel to them, and I cannot really make it verbalize what the feel is, always come from topology. Okay, but I don't know that or not. Okay, I mean I only have examples,
mm-hmm.
But okay. So maybe now I will go over. Wait,
yeah,
sorry.
You see this bar on
here?
On the right.
I. What?
Just with one pen. With one.
Can you?
Here?
Just leave it. Can I attach just with one? It should work. If not, that's it.
Okay. So now I want to go over this table and just sort of fill in the boxes. Many of them I already said, okay, but I should fill in the boxes. I should say that in the case of... what did I want to say? Right, I should say that, you know, one of the things I could talk about was about the machine in abstractness. You know, what does an algebraic structure mean? What does projectivization mean? Why does it always work? And then do the example of Quandles. So that's one menu item. Okay? Anyway, now I just want to go over the boxes and also explain the color coding. So the color coding is explained there. So basically green is what I understand well, yellow is, sorry, and okay, sorry, green and yellow are things that I understand well, darker yellow, so more like orange, are things that I understand but gaps remain, pink means there are more gaps than what I can explain, but there is something there, and red means that I completely don't understand that box. Okay? So let me just go over the boxes. So for topology, the case of U-knots is just the usual knotted object, so it means braid, knots, links, tangles, knotted graphs, etc. The combinatorics is core diagrams, Jacobi diagrams, modulo 4, TIHX, etc. And again, you can any of these things I can define and explain. This is again the menu, okay? The low algebra is finite dimensional Lie algebras, sorry, metrized Lie algebras. So Lie algebras that have a non-degenerate invariant bilinear, symmetric bilinear form. And in particular, it includes all semi-simple Lie algebras. So, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G Lie algebras. And their representations in various associated spaces. The corresponding high algebra is the Drinfeld theory of associators, as I've already mentioned. Let's move on. And in the case of virtual knots, so I guess you already know what virtual knots are. I don't need to define it. But I should say that I don't know what virtual knots are. So that's why this is yellow. Okay? There are competing definitions for what virtual knots are, and which one exactly is the best for this story, I don't know. Okay, they have, I could be specific, I could tell you what the differences are, and it's not entirely clear which one is the best for this, for the purpose of this story. Okay? Then the corresponding combinatorics is so-called arrow diagrams, which is again something that has a IHX and STU relations, but there are arrows as well on the lines, okay? And the 40 relation gets replaced by something called the 60 relation. And again, you may know all of this. I don't know if I'm wasting your time. Okay? The corresponding combinatoric space is, the corresponding low algebra is finite dimensional Lie-by algebras, and again, the representations and associated spaces. And the corresponding high algebra is various parts of quantum group theory, and in particular, the Ettinghoff-Kasdan theory of quantization of Lie-by algebras. And you know, you can see that the color is, well, you, maybe you can see because the projector is not great, but on your handout you can see that the color is pinkish. So, I mean, I know something, but I don't know all.
I have already a question, because for us it is clear in the classical case, okay, that it is clear. Okay. For defining a homomorphic expansion for great groups, you need Kontsevich integral. For the finite Kontsevich integral, you need Dreyfus associators. What we are saying is that you need the Dreyfus associator for Dreyfus associator to obtain homomorphic expansion, or it is one possible way to obtain homomorphic expansion.
So depends homomorphic expansion of what? If you're talking about braid groups, there may be other ways to get homomorphic expansions. If you're talking about knotted trivalent graphs, equivalent to an associate to associator.
Okay. Yeah, it depends also on the axioms, because, for example, in the paper of Verciano Papadino, when we do for the case b n equal to 3, the only possible associator that you can obtain it is Dreyfus associator, and
I'm not sure what you're referring to. But yes, I said many of these spaces come in many variants. So this is only schematics. Okay. Then the next story is the story that my paper with Zhuzhana Dancho is mostly about. It's the case of W knots. And again, these are two-dimensional knots in R4 modulus with some conditions, so so-called ribbon knots. Or alternatively, it's a certain quotient of virtual knots. The corresponding space of diagrams is again a quotient of the space before. The corresponding the corresponding low algebra space is, if you want, a subspace of, because the Lie algebras are somehow due to the diagram. So if we mod it out by a relation, now we're restricting to a subspace of the set of diagrams of Lie algebras. So it's the bi algebras that are co-commutative. Or alternatively, it's the same as saying you take a Lie algebra and you take its semi-direct product with its dual, where you take the dual as a commutative Lie algebra. The corresponding high algebra question is the Kashiwara-Verne problem. And again, I could tell you more about it. And, let's skip the last column. And, sorry. And here, I should mention one other thing. And the other thing is that there are maps between these spaces. So every U knot is also a V knot, and also and every V knot projects to a W knot. And this corresponds to maps between all of these spaces, maybe sometimes going the other way around when you dualize. Okay? And therefore, and also it corresponds to relations between the associated problems. So the Alexeyev-Torossian paper says that given an associator, or given a solution of the Kashiwara-Verne problem, you can write an associator in some space. Okay? And this can be interpreted in my language as just the fact that that U knots map into W knots. Okay? And then there is a paper by Alexeyev-Enriquez-Torossian, which says that given an associator, you can construct a solution of the Kashiwara-Wern problem. And the interpretation of that is that under this map that I mentioned before of U nodes into W nodes, the images of the generators here generate here. Okay? And again, all of this should be explained. Okay, I'm only sketching.
Because we worked on the image of the pure break group into the welded pure break group.
No, but it's not about the it's about graphs. It only the relationships with associators and with Kashiwara-Wern only arises when you talk about graphs, knotted graphs. Not
okay.
It's not enough to talk about braids or knots or links. Okay? Okay, finally, okay, not finally, so more about this table. So I should say that there is another column row in the table, and it's these are the P objects. And for the P objects, I have no clue what they are. Okay? But all I know is that the other columns seem to make sense. So since the other columns seem to make sense, I conjecture that there is also something to put in this box. And the other column, well, the column of low algebra is Poisson structures. The column of high algebra is the Kontsievich deformation quantization of Poisson manifolds. If you look at the Kontsievich quantization of Poisson structure of Poisson manifolds, it is done in some universal terms. So, in other words, he find a solution to the specific problem for a given manifold, for a given Poisson structure, using a universal collection of diagrams modulo relations. Okay? And these diagrams are what I will call acrobat towers. And I could explain what they are, but again, that's a story of its own. And again, so all of this more or less makes sense. And it's completely a mystery for me what the whether and what or and where from it comes in topology. Okay? And then, again, before going to the a la carte items, let me talk about the remaining columns. So these are the four columns I most care about. But in several of these stories, there is an alternative. Well, there is an alternative way to write a homomorphic expansion, and this is using various things, well, various other things, okay? I should say, when it says here today's work, it's because I copied this diagram from some other source, okay? So this today's means a year ago in some other place, okay? Anyway, so there is a beautiful story of constructing a homomorphic expansion for knots, also known as the Kontsievich integral, using counting various stellar coincidences, or alternatively using configuration space integrals. And such a column ought to exist for the other part of the story, but I don't know it. Okay? And I should say that in this case, I actually, the P column has it much more clearly than the U and the V column, the V and the W columns. Then there is an associated quantum field theory for which this counting is the perturbative theory, is the Feynman diagram expansion. So for the U story, it's the Chern-Simons theory. For the V story, I have no clue if such a thing exists. For the W story, it's probably closely related to so-called BF theory, but I don't know, I can't say anything more.
Could you say what BF stands for?
Two names of fields. So the B field and the F field. So there is a Lagrangian, so you know, in that sense, Chern-Simons theory is a theory, because there is one field, it's called the connection A, and the action is A wedge dA plus 2/3 A wedge A wedge A. And for BF, there are two fields, B and F, and the action is B wedge the curvature of F, or maybe F wedge the curvature of B. Okay?
B wedge F.
B wedge, oh, B wedge F, you're right, sorry. There are two fields, B and A, and the action is B wedge F, where F is the curvature of A. Sorry, the language forgot the language. Okay, and then in all of the cases, those spaces of diagrams, modulo relations, right? So we get diagrams, modulo relations. But this is just, you know, if you think about it this way, you can think of it as if there is a map from relations to diagrams, and then this is the homology of this map. Okay? And then in all of the columns, there is extensions of this complex to a longer complex. And the resulting homology is so-called graph homology. So there is a graph homology for each of these cases, and I have nothing. And generally speaking, I have very little to say about it. I'm just saying it exists. Okay. And what exactly it means is, you know, to be determined. Okay. So this is the, again, I'm still only sketching the story. Okay. Now the next thing I want to do is to tell you what the a la carte items are. So. Not in any specific order. So, oops, that wasn't good. So the a la carte items are, I could tell you how exactly the W story relates to convolutions on Lie groups and Lie algebras, and it's a beautiful story, and not at all obvious. It's very beautiful and very natural, and in as much as I can tell, it's written in many places, but I think I can do it more pretty way than how it's written in the other sources. I can tell you about how the W story, when restricted to knots, is the Alexander polynomial. I can tell you about it in two different ways. So there is somehow the infinitesimal way, where you get an infinitesimal Alexander module, and I don't really understand it, but I mean, I can tell you what it is, and tell you the parts that I do understand, and how the Alexander, how it arises, how it computes the Alexander polynomial. Or I can do it in the global case, in the global way, which I also don't understand. Sorry, I don't understand anything. I understand something on each thing, but there are lots of questions on each thing as well. So this is this metagroup story, which I just talked about in Regina. And let me just advertise it. There is an R missing. The letter R is missing here. Sorry. So let me just tell you, let me just advertise it, that you get an excellent extension of the Alexander polynomial for two tangles by thinking this way. So excellent meaning better than anything, for all I know, that existed before. So somehow there is it's much more efficient in some sense, and I could explain exactly in what sense. Mm-hmm. Okay? And in particular, if you ever want to categorify, sorry, that's a nice buzzword, okay? If you ever want to categorify something associated with the Alexander polynomial, I would think this is the thing to categorify. Okay? Because, well, okay, I should talk about it at some point. Then I could talk about, for the virtual braid group, in fact, in all of the cases, right, I guess I shouldn't have erased it. So there is topology and there is combinatorics. And in all of the cases, identifying the combinatorics is actually difficult. So it's very easy to come up with a conjecture for what the combinatorics is in all of the cases, but then proving the conjecture is very hard, and in fact the way to prove the conjecture is to construct an expansion into the conjecture. Somehow, constructing an expansion into the associated graded is obvious. But if you succeed to construct an expansion into the conjecture for what the for the identification of the associated graded in terms of combinatorics, then you've proven your identification. So so in particular, this identification problem in the case of V braids is this work of my student Peter Lee. And I could tell you a little bit about it. I could tell you about configuration space integrals and the relationship with Chern-Simons theory. So that's the fifth column in this grid. I could tell you about the relationship with the Groth and Dittach-Muller group. And there's some relation. I could say something about it. I could tell you about. So I mentioned that I'm not even sure what a virtual knot means. Okay? So, Bar-Natan, Halakiva, Leong, and Rukema wrote a paper about 18 different spaces of virtual knots, different meaning for the word virtual knot, and of these, some are clearly irrelevant for the overall story, but several are relevant, and in all of these cases, we have, this quadraticity. So in all of these cases, we have this quadraticity at the computational level to degree 5. So quadraticity means that the combinatorics is what you expect it to be. Okay? So I could tell you about these 18 spaces and what quadraticity means in each case, but it's actually an open problem that it goes beyond degree 5. I could say one word about algebraic knot theory. So this is how I expect eventually all of this might be useful for back to knot theory. I could tell you about yet another multivariable Alexander polynomial for tangles, which is more elegant but less powerful. And number 10 is just, I could tell you about how to solve the Rubik's Cube. Okay, that's the end of my menu. Okay, and now it's up to my boss, who is Paolo. Sorry, Paolo mostly corresponded with me, so I know there are 4 bosses, but I have to choose one to. So all the orders should factor through Paolo. You tell me what to talk about, I talk.
I think that since we spoke a little bit about